This podcast is presented by On Point PR. Beyond Communication, the new frontier of web communication. Visit onpointpr.eu.
Hi, this is Giovanni Della Rosa, Science and Technology Editor at On Point, and we are here in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress to meet Andrew of Limo Foundation, then we talk about the company.
So, thank you. This is Andrew Shikiar with Limo Foundation. I'm Limo's Director of Global Marketing. So, this is Limo's third anniversary here at Mobile World Congress. And as a refresher, Limo was launched just around 3 years ago by six founding companies with the goal of establishing a common open mobile handset operating system based on open source and mobile Linux technologies. Since Limo's inception, we've made strong progress in three key areas. The first is in industry engagement. The second is in delivery of handsets. And the third is in evolution of the Limo platform. As far as industry engagement is concerned, we have over 50 members now, including several that we announced this week, which I'll touch on in a second. We've also delivered over 50 different handset models that are Limo compliant. And then as far as evolving the platform, this week we announced the completion of the Limo R3 platform, which is the third iteration on the Limo platform. So we're here this at Mobile World Congress this year to meet with our members and with the industry on the whole, to further advance the evolution of Limo platform and to bring more companies into Limo. The news that we had this week, as I mentioned, was first of all, we completed the R3 platform, which is very significant. Secondly, we announced several new members. The first new member is Adobe Systems, which is a very significant addition into Limo in the sense that Adobe obviously has rich expertise in developer tools and creative tools and technologies, and Adobe is joining Limo with the intention of contributing Flash technology and APIs into the Limo platform. In addition to Adobe, new members include Else Mobile, who has the first Else device, which is a very compelling handset, which is Limo compliant using technology from Access, Access Company. We also welcome Mobi TV and SRS Labs as new members into Limo Foundation. The other key announcement that we had this week is further Limo-compliant handsets, including three models, each from Panasonic and NEC, that were specified and brought to market by NTT Docomo, and then also the first Else handset from Else Mobile, which is also Limo-compliant and is being displayed here by Access Systems. So that's what we're doing here. We have a lot of very exciting demos from our members showing how they are leveraging SDKs and toolkits from companies such as Samsung, Zingo, and Access, as well as the Bondi OMTP web SDK. And there's for the first time, we're also demonstrating the Samsung SCH M510 handset, which is being showcased by SK Telecom. So we're very pleased to have such strong operator demonstrations in our booth this week from SK Telecom, Telecom Italia, Vodafone, and NTT Docomo.
Okay, Andrew, and how do you see the integration of your platform with the platform on Samsung?
So Samsung's obviously one of the founding companies in Limo and is a very valuable member. In fact, the Samsung-Vodafone collaboration on Vodafone 360 resulted in the first two Limo R2 handsets, the Vodafone 360 H1 by Samsung and the M1 by Samsung as well. And they're both very compelling devices that help Vodafone fully realize their mobile services strategy. So Bata, which I believe you're referring to, is a feature phone platform proprietary to Samsung, and they're opening APIs. So they're different class of devices and different focus for Samsung. So Samsung's higher-end handsets and smartphones will be Limo devices.
I see. Okay, and how do you foresee the future of the evolution of the open platform?
So, you know, the Limbo platform will continue to evolve based on the contributions of our members. So R3, which was just completed, features a common reference implementation and also functionality for things such as location-based services and advanced multimedia. So the platform has evolved in a very open process within the membership. We have a requirements council that helps establish, you know, what the market requirements are for the platform. And then companies can propose contributions that are contributed into the platform and will be rolled into, you know, R4 and future versions of the platform. So the platform, you know, will naturally include, in addition to added functionality, the platform will add support for additional runtimes. So clearly, one would expect that, you know, explicit support for Flash will be included, as well as other non-native runtimes, such as Java and Bondi, Jill, are examples of runtimes that would be strategic to Limo. At a broader level, you know, there's a lot of open source movements that are you know, in the industry. So this week we saw the announcement of Migo. Obviously, there's the Android platform, and then these are open source platforms along with Symbian. But there's a key delineating factor that one has to look at, and there's a difference between open source and open opportunity. So while those are open source platforms, they are heavily tied to the business interests of their key stakeholders. So for example, the Migo announcement from Intel and Nokia, applications for Migo will only be retailed through Ovi. So clearly that's something that directs traffic and business back through Nokia. Android is clearly very integrated with Google services and Google strategies, and the direction of that platform is kind of a moving target for the key operator and OEM stakeholders. So I think those are open source platforms, but the opportunity for participation and for business realization is limited on those platforms, whereas Limo is truly neutral and independent. So Limo is a not-for-profit organization with multiple stakeholders who collectively develop and act as stewards for the platform. So there's no business interest at all. There's no business model behind Limo, and we don't specify a path to market or the user experience or the user interface, which allows operators and OEMs to fully implement a compelling user experience based on their user requirements, and also allows developers to create applications that can be brought to market through a variety of mechanisms. And we expect those to be, you know, provided by Limo operators and OEMs and third parties later on in 2010.
Okay, so let's say developers want to develop a vertical application. How do they interface with you? A vertical application, like, for example, I'm strongly interested in the field of citizen journalism. Let's say we want to create an application for communication in the area of the media.
Okay.
Now, citizen journalism, they do create news on the spot, and they put this news on the internet. It would be much better if these people around the world, when they create a new, they will integrate with all the social media in one platform. All the social media, all the media, like video, audio, and then they can address directly this information to, let's say, CNN or BBC or whatever, just in one single aggregation module. So someone that wants to develop an application like that, how do they interface with you?
Well, so the SDKs will be made available from Limo members starting in the second half of this year. So those for third-party developers, they can actually, you know, use those toolkits to create applications that will run on Limo handsets. There's also second-party ISVs and companies involved with Limo who are optimizing software and services for the platform directly inside the organization. But so third-party developers, you know, there will be tools, you know, made available in the very near future to create applications such as what you're talking about.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew, and we wish him a very successful Barcelona 2010. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast has been presented by On Point PR. Beyond Communication, the new frontier of web communication. Visit onpointpr.eu.